Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of KleptoCast, the podcast series from the Hudson Institute's Kleptocracy Initiative. My name is Casey Michelle, and our guest today is Craig Holman, a government affairs lobbyist with Public Citizen, which is a nonprofit focused in part on governmental transparency. Craig works in Public Citizen's Congress Watch division, focusing on campaign finance and governmental ethics. Craig has also worked as a senior policy analyst with NYU's Brennan Center for Justice and has written extensively on lobbying regulation in the U.S. He's also one of the country's foremost experts on the Foreign Agents Registration Act, known to most of us as FARA. So, Craig, it's great having you with us today. Before we get into the numerous ways the federal government can improve FARA, I was wondering if you might take us back a bit to discuss how FARA first came to be and some of the changes we've seen in the legislation since.
Well, glad to be here, first of all, and I'm glad you asked about the history of FARA. It's got a fascinating origin to it. Back in the late 1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was worried that Adolf Hitler was making expenditures in the United States to try to prevent Congress from allowing the United States to enter World War II. And so it was out of that concern that FDR championed the Foreign Agents Registration Act, a disclosure act that would have required Adolf Hitler and the Nazis to put a disclaimer on any kind of informational materials they were distributing in the United States to affect public opinion, as well as to register with, at that time, the Department of State as to what they were doing. This was in 1938. The final passage of the bill expanded beyond the Nazis and included all foreign principles. So agents of foreign principles then was the final language of the 1938 Act. And they are required to disclose under FARA, which is now run by the Department of Justice, and disclose rather extensive information. First of all, they are required to put any kind of disclaimers on informational materials that they distribute in the U.S., but they also register with the Department of Justice and file semi-annual reports of their lobbying activities, their lobbying expenditures, and who they're representing. And those reports are really quite extensive, and they're almost like reading a diary as to who the lobbyist has met with, what they were trying to do, and, you know, what their plans are for the future. So it's a fairly good disclosure regime. The biggest problem is it's run by an agency, today the Department of Justice, who doesn't really take the disclosure part of it very seriously. So even though it's a good law on the books, it isn't enforced properly.
Well, I was going to ask, given that FARA is now almost 80 years old, there's understandably some room for improvement. Are there any areas, be it disclosure or potential loopholes, that you think legislators should focus on first and foremost moving forward when it comes to FARA?
The biggest improvement for FARA would be the enforcement mechanism. But, you know, we can talk about that later. There are other improvements that can be done as well. When the Lobby Disclosure Act of 1995 was passed, that's the law that applies the registration and disclosure requirements to domestic lobbyists. It provided an opportunity for any lobbyist that's representing foreign business and interests to register under LDA instead of FARA. The problem with that is the LDA disclosure database is nowhere as thorough as the FARA disclosure database. And so, as you can imagine, almost all foreign business interests that are lobbying in the United States will register under LDA instead, so they have to report much less than they ever have before. I would like to see those agents of foreign principles required once again to register under FARA, so we can get a more complete picture as to what foreign business interests are trying to, what they're trying to do in the United States, and how they're trying to shape American public policy. You know, this is going to become particularly important, I believe, in the next administration, because the Trump administration is stepping into the White House with more foreign investments and conflicts of interest with foreign countries than we've ever seen before. So this is something that can become a very, very critical issue in the next 4 years.
Turning back to issues of enforcement, just briefly, I wanted to drop in just this one statistic which really stood out to me in researching FARA legislation and enforcement. You know, the Department of Justice recently said that from 2005 to 2015, it issued only 4 criminal charges relating to FARA. So that's 4 over a 10-year span. From your perspective, why is it that we've seen such little effort at enforcement when it pertains to this legislation?
It's the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has always viewed themselves as being an agency that deals more with white-collar crime or perhaps actual foreign spies. It has never viewed itself as being a disclosure agency. As a matter of fact, during the debates on the Lobby Disclosure Act in 1995, you know, Congress was looking for who's going to enforce LDA, and they asked the Department of Justice. And the Department of Justice actually went right before the congressional committee during a public hearing and said, no, we don't want to do this. We don't want to be a disclosure agency. That's not our role. And so the Department of Justice really feels mismatched in having to enforce FARA and it just generally doesn't do it. So that's the real problem, the Department of Justice.
Broadening out just a bit, there was a recent report, which I'm sure you saw, or at least the headlines of, from the U.S.'s Director of National Intelligence, which pertained to Russian hacking in the U.S. That report also pointed out that the RT media outlet, which is funded by the Kremlin, has gone to notable lengths to avoid registering with FARA. In your opinion, do you think that something like RT should be registered with FARA, or do you think that that outlet is beyond the purview of what FARA should be used for?
Well, it's quite likely beyond the purview of FARA. FARA, as well as LDA, exempts news agencies, legitimate news agencies, from having to register and disclose their activities. RT appears to be a very legitimate news agency, even though it may be running for the purpose of promoting Russian interests. But as long as it doesn't actually pursue lobbying activities and it sticks to a news service, then it should probably be exempt from the Lobby Disclosure Act.
You know, there are certainly plenty of criticisms around FARA that get brought up in national press or in discussions on the Hill. But I was wondering if you might be able to put it just kind of in perspective internationally. How does FARA stack up against comparable legislation elsewhere in Europe, in Canada, in Japan? Does it stand heads and shoulders above anything else that's out there, or does it need to play catch up?
There's very little lobby laws elsewhere in the world. One thing the United States does excel at in comparison to most countries is requiring lobby disclosures. Most countries don't have any kind of lobby disclosure system in effect. What you will see, for instance, in Russia, is instead of having any kind of lobby disclosure system, they will label any kind of entity that receives some funding from foreign sources as being a foreign agent, and therefore may be subject to various prohibitions and restrictions or even imprisonment. But that is not a lobby disclosure system. So, FARA, for all its problems, at least in the U.S., we're trying to get some sort of public disclosure of the lobbying activities going on here. So in that sense, it stands better in comparison to what's going on around the rest of the world.
Now, as listeners may be aware, FARA's database is currently available, publicly available online at FARA.gov. Craig, are there any improvements you think the database in and of itself needs to make moving forward, either in terms of compilation of materials or presentation of materials to the public?
Yes, indeed. The FARA database was an almost broken database back in 2004 and 2005. So when we started working on reforming lobbying disclosure in the United States in the wake of the Jack Abramoff scandal of 2006, we drafted sweeping lobby reform legislation called the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act. And in that lobby reform legislation, we mandated that the FARA reports have to get online, and not only online, but be searchable, sortable, and downloadable. So the Department of Justice would actually have to create an electronic database that you and I could even download onto our own computers, into our own programs, so we could do some sort of analysis. They have done nothing of the sort. The Department of Justice, which views itself as not being a disclosure agency, has lived up to its reputation. Even though they have felt mandated to post the database online, it's no way near searchable, sortable, and absolutely is not downloadable as mandated by law. So the Department of Justice and the FARA database is not in compliance of the federal law that requires searchable, sortable, and downloadable database.
So in terms of recommendations moving forward and in terms of potential improvements moving forward, and just as a final question for you, Craig, is there any reason that you see right now to think that these reforms will be implemented over the next 2, 4, 8 years as we look at a potential Trump administration? Or what do you think we can expect from FARA as the new administration comes into the White House?
All our lobby disclosure improvements and even the lobby disclosure acts themselves have come in the wake of scandal. And Trump is stepping into the White House with more foreign investments and foreign conflicts of interest that span the globe across at least 23 countries. I'm fully expecting the new Trump administration to be one of the most scandal-ridden administrations in recent history. And upon that scandal, we may be able to promote some sort of vast improvements in the FARA database. And those improvements have to include, first of all, having lobbyists for foreign business interests registered and disclosed in FARA, having a searchable, sortable, downloadable database, and setting up an agency that actually believes in FARA and will enforce it.